Good to see you this morning. Happy Father's Day to you all. If you're not a father, then you had a father, right? Somewhere. Perhaps at home, perhaps not, but you had one. So we as a nation, they celebrate Father's Day, but as a Christian, our Father's Day is every day, amen? Because we have a Heavenly Father. I'm going to ask you to turn your Bibles this morning to the book of Philippians, chapter number 3. And I kind of changed the text or the title to the message a little bit. And the title of the message is going to be Until Then. Until Then. And it's found in Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter number 3. You know, I Galatians, Philippians, Colossians, you know, the way I remember that is Gentiles eat pork chops. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, get it? Gentiles, okay, never mind. Anyway, the book of Philippians, and we find ourselves in chapter number 3 of that text. And as you probably already know, this is one of Paul's prison epistles. He'd actually been already taken to Rome on trial. He'd gone through 3 different trials already, and now he is a Roman citizen, said he wanted to be tried by Rome itself, so they took him to Rome. And as he was taken there, he was in chains as a prisoner, and he was still sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ even with the prisoner guards that were nearby him. So he writes this letter back to the church of Philippi, and this was the small congregation that was spoken about when it first began in Acts chapter number 16. Do you remember that? Paul down in the inner prison, the guy said he was going to kill himself. He said, do thyself no harm. And he said, what should I do? And he said, give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he did. And he went home. And not only did he get saved, but his whole family got saved. That's how the church of Philippi got started. So they had this congregation going on. Paul's over in Rome. And he writes a letter to them because they had been kind to him. And not only in prayers, but in giving to support him in his ministry. So he writes this letter back to them because there were issues within the congregation of disunity. And there were also some people who had come into the church of Philippi early on that began to try to distort the gospel a little bit. So Paul's word of encouragement to them was, don't lose hope, try to rejoice. And he uses like 5 different times, you know, be filled with joy. You know, it's going to be tough times. And he's writing this handwritten letter to them. Normally, Paul wrote through a secretary called an amanuensis, which means he spoke and they would write it and send the letters up. But this one was a handwritten letter from Paul while he sat in a prison in Rome. And where I want to pick up is, and I'm going to look just a little bit through the book, but again, the title of the message is Until Then. And notice what Paul says in verse number 17 of chapter number 3. Notice what he says, brethren. It's an interesting place to start because in chapter number 1, verse 1, he calls these folks at Philippi the saints. Then he calls them the brethren, which means all those who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's an important thing because this is for the believer. It was for the believer 2,000 years ago, and it's for the believer in 2017. I love God's word. It transcends all time throughout the centuries, and it's still powerful. Amen? And he writes and he says this, brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk. As you have us for a pattern, for many walk of them, I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. Notice verse number 20. He reminds the congregation, we're having a difficult time. People have crept into the church. There are people outside that are giving us a hard time. But listen, he says this. Listen to this. For our citizenship is in heaven, which means we're just journeying here. This ain't home, folks. Our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait, listen to what it says, for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 21, who will transform our lowly body, we call that the resurrection, amen, that will be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Paul says, listen, we got all these people out here giving us a hard time, giving us grief, but let me tell you something. Our citizenship, our home is not here. We're just passing through. We're pilgrims. Our citizenship is in heaven, and one day we're going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And because he is all-powerful in all things, he's going to be able to transform our lowly bodies into glorious bodies to be with him forevermore. And he says, basically, and he's able to do it. So we say, well, amen, I'm ready for that. I'm ready for that. But the problem is, we just can't sit around and wait for that. We can't sit on our back porch and sip our coffee and, you know, and just do nothing. He's talking to the brothers and sisters in Christ here at the Church of Philippi. Again, a message that transcends all generations and speaks to us today just as well. So what are we supposed to do until then? What are we supposed to do until then, until we see Jesus? And we find it right here in the text of Scripture and the verses before this. Look at verse number 12. And you'll see what we're supposed to do until then. Okay? Follow with me now. Ready? Reading out of the New King James, he says this in Philippians chapter 3. Not that I have already attained, nor am I already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Basically saying, God's got a hold of me. And he says this, listen to this. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended or to know anything, but one thing I do know. Listen, you may be confused at everything that's going on else around you, is what Paul's saying. But there's one thing I do know, and we ought to be able to say the same thing. There's one thing I do know. Listen to what he says. Forgetting those things which are behind, number one. Number two, and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, number two. Number three, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So what are we supposed to do until then? Until we leave these earthly bodies, until we get finished with our journey, until they take us out in a gurney, what are we supposed to do until then? Well, number one, you notice what he says. He says we're supposed to forget those things which are behind us. He says, "Forget. I have forgot those things which are behind us." Now, that can be both in a negative and a positive way. Notice, just turn over the page if you've got it, and look over in verse number or chapter number 3. And he's talking about forgetting those things behind us. Paul says this. Notice what he says, chapter number 3, forgetting those things which are behind us. Keep up with me here. Notice what he says. Until then, what are we supposed to do? Forgetting those things behind us. Chapter 3, verse 1. Follow my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation, for we all of the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Notice what he says. One of the things he forgets that is behind him, he's got no confidence in himself and his own flesh. And he goes on to say, though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have more confidence in the flesh, I more so. Verse 5, circumcised, he's bragging on his past, he's bragging on what was behind him. And notice what he said. He said, I was circumcised the eighth day. I did what was required by the Levites. Notice what he said. Of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these things I counted for loss of Christ. Yet I, indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Notice what he said. And count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. Now, keep up with me here. Listen to this. What are we going to do until then, until we go to heaven? First of all, Paul says he forgot those things that were behind him. Now, in the positive side, it's this. All that education, everything he was in life, the big-time Jew he was, great Pharisee, tons of education. Listen, he counted it but loss. He forgot all that he would be able to gain being more like Christ. See, sometimes success can keep us from doing something until then for Jesus. We may think we're too high and mighty to do the lower things. And when I say the lower things, the things of being a servant. Well, I'm above doing that. I'm not going to do that. I'm very educated. While I've been here and I've done that, I've done wonderful things. I'm very intellectually, I've got Hebrew. I've got all the languages. I'm just one smart cookie. Would that keep you from doing some of the Lord's work? Yes, because you may think you're better than what needs to be done. Does that make sense? What I'm saying, you'd say, well, I've been this. I've been a pastor of the church. What do you mean, clean tables? I'm not going to clean tables. But if I'm going to do something until then, until Jesus, until I see him, listen, I've got to forget those things that are behind me. That's the positive thing. The negative thing is this. Paul also mentions the bad things. Remember? In the same text of Scripture. I persecuted the church. I went out and killed Christians. Why? You remember in the book of Acts, Paul was out dragging someone to Jerusalem to be killed then when the Lord came and spoke to his heart and converted him. Paul said, I've had to forget those things that were behind me. I had to give it up. I couldn't count anything in the flesh. I had to stop, both positive and negative. You know, the truth of the matter is, when you live in the past, you're paralyzed for the future. You truly are. If you're living even in the positive, well, I'm better than that. Hell, go and minister to children who have no fathers? Not going to touch those little snotty-nosed orphans. Huh. I've raised my own kids. I like the one, I worked in the nursery when I had my own kids. And I'm not going to do that anymore. Then on the other side is this. This is what paralyzes us for the future. I'm not worthy. I can't do it. I don't have an education. I don't have any kind of degree. We found out in Sunday school today, God can do great things with a son of a harlot. Over in the book of Judges. And nothing ever good came out of Nazareth. Paul was a persecutor of the church. So what do we do until then? We have to forget those things that are behind us if we really want to do great things for the Lord. How many of us have been held back? The Apostle Paul says, I've had to count it all as rubbish, as trash, because we've failed to forget those things in the past. We've let it cripple us, paralyze us for the future. I mean, I don't do a lot of counseling. I have a degree in counseling, and I guess I do some counseling, but you know, whenever people are just stymied and not moving forward, it's because they've never got rid of forgot what their past was. They've let that hang around their neck. And I can only spend so much time with someone that constantly goes back in the past. Oh, it's terrible, it's rotten, it stinks. My whole word for that is, listen, get over it. Get over it. You say, you don't know how painful it is. I know what painful is. I know painful past. I do. I've experienced it in my own life. The most confusing day in my house for years was Father's Day. I mean, it was just, I know painful past. I'm telling you. You know, and for people to continue to gravitate back towards my family treated me this way, and I had to sit in a hallway at school, and I wore bad clothes, or my parents were harsh to me and all that, and they stay in that little world right there. Listen, get over it. You will never do anything amazing for God, and you will be paralyzed spiritually if you stay right there. God made you a new creation in Jesus Christ. Get over it. Move on. Get something done for the Lord. Until then, are you going to be whining and crying and, and wimpy and whining all the time. You know, there's some people, I don't ever want to ask them how they're doing. Because they'll tell you. And when they do, it's the worst of the worst of the worst. And it begins to just suck the joy out of me. And I'm going, oh, I'm dying too. You think I'm kidding? It's true. Get over it. And I, you know, say, well, you're being harsh. Listen to what Paul said. I count it as rubbish. Throw it away. Get rid of it. That's why he's addressing this to the saints. When you become a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, you start day one all over again. Amen? No matter whether who you are, where you've been, and what you've done, God will use us and he will use our congregation for his glory if we'll forget those things behind us. Got it? It's easy right there in the scriptures. What are we going to do until then? We're going to put it behind us. What's the second thing we're going to do? Notice what he says. What we're going to do until then. He said, I'm going to forget those things which are behind us. And reaching forward to those things that are what? Ahead. I'm going to be looking to the future. I'm going to be looking ahead at what's going to take place. And what's interesting, you know, I broke open the commentary on this and I began to read some of the words that are used here. You know, the Greeks were very much into athletics. That's why we're still doing the every 4 years, what do they call them, the Olympics. It's all based upon, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years ago when the Greeks began their Olympics. They had an annual thing. We broke it down to 4 years. But they had an annual thing where they'd all get together and they would throw the javelin and the shot put and run and, you know, play football. And I don't know if they had football, but, you know, do all those things on that. So Paul knew these people when he was speaking to them that had been influenced by the Greek world, that they were athletic. They knew about athletic stuff. So he uses this word and he says, and I like the way he said it. He says that in verse number 3, he says, in reaching forward to those things which are ahead. It had to do with running. Now, they like to run. How many have ever heard of a marathon? Comes out of the Greek world. A guy actually ran to a city named Marathon. And it took him a whole long time to do it. I don't know that some people could do that. Run for days to Marathon. And so we've got that name Marathon. And that's the word Paul's using here is about running a race and leaning forward in that race that someone has to be. Listen, leaning forward means you have to be clear focused. You have to have complete dedication. You have to be disciplined to be able to run in the race, to be able to lean forward, or else you won't do it. How many of you, now some people do, how many of you in your DNA, is it in your DNA to exercise and to get your heart rhythm up about 120 beats a minute? How many have that in your DNA? You are an athlete, Mr. Carr. Just look at your body. I can tell right now. Would you stand up and make some muscles for us? He does. Yeah, some people like that. But how many of you, if it is not in your DNA? I'm with you. See, I don't know anybody that has a heart attack and a lazy boy. Amen? They're all doing something. Brother Jeff, they're doing something. They're out running, hiking, doing athletic stuff. I think we need to keep it somewhere balanced. You know, 120 beats a minute, maybe when you get up to get your coffee. I mean, keep a balance there, a good balance. But Paul's using this. He's saying, I'm going to forget those things which are behind me, but I'm going to, and actually the word is strain forward. You know, in the text there, it uses another word, but literally means I'm going to strain forward. Is that I am going to run, I'm going to focus, I'm going to discipline myself, that what I'm going to do is that I'm going to be reaching forward to those things which are ahead. And what is ahead when you run a race? The finish line. And I can only speak from personal experience that if you're not disciplined and prepared to do it, And if you've just been laying around doing nothing for a long time, it's hard to run the race. Several years ago, I had to run a PT test, and it's 2 miles, and I was probably in my late 30s, and I ran it with a guy who was 60. And he'd already run his race, and he finished in time, and I still had to finish my PT test. And he said he was going to take it with me, and his name was Robert Kohler. He was a chaplain. And he stood beside me and ran, and I hadn't practiced at all. I wasn't ready. I mean, the first 10 feet, I was, and he said, "Come on, big fat boy, let's move." And I mean, he was yelling at me, and like I was in basic training, "Put them feet up, move, move, move." And I was like, and I mean, I really thought this was it. I see mama. I mean, you know, it was just terrifying. And if you've not prepared for it, but when you prepare for it, but you just have to do it. But here's the bottom line. We have to focus on a future. We have to focus. We're going to make it. We're going to struggle. We're going to do it all the way till the very end. We're going to keep on going. We're going to put everything we've got into this. Because, see, we're going to go home to be with Jesus one day. And I want to hear this from him. Good job, faithful servant. That's what I want to hear. Good job, faithful servant. See, Paul says we got this citizenship up here. What are we going to do? We've got to do something until then. We got to forget those things that are behind us, right? We got to lean forward with discipline in the things in front of us. That's the way we make it happen. That's how we do it. And you know, I think there's a cheering party according to the book of Hebrews. It says there's a great cloud of witnesses. It's what it says. Brother Leon, have you ever read that in Hebrews? It says there's a great cloud of witnesses. And I don't see them, but somehow they can see me in the book of Hebrews. It's almost as they're there, and they're going like, yes. You know, like my mom, "You go for it, boy!" I mean, you know, and my friends that have gone before me, and I can name off lots of people, good Christian people, that are up there cheering for me, that want me to succeed in this race of doing something great until then. Until then. I believe in our last moments of death that God cheers us on. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will feel no evil, for thou art with me." No better testimony than Miss Shirley Trent. I went up there, and I don't know that I shared this with the congregation, but a little bit of it came out the other day during her memorial service. Kathy had called me and said, "Okay, Mama finally wants to see somebody. Come on up. She wants to see you." I said, "Oh, great." And went up there and sat by her bed. And she's never been really talkative, kind of soft-spoken, easy, you know, just as sweet as can be. And just kind of laid back. But when I got up there next to her bed, her eyes were wide open. And she spoke like there was nothing wrong with her. Even though she was on oxygen, she pulled that oxygen mask down and she said, "Pastor JD, I want you to tell me if I'm crazy or not." And I said, "What's wrong?" She said, "Yesterday, I was asleep." Now, this was before, she wasn't on any medications. And she said, "While I was asleep, I felt this calm assurance, a peace." And she said, "I looked down into this pond and it was clear, the most clearest water I'd ever seen. And in the reflection of that water, I could see Jesus standing behind me. But he told me not to turn around and look. And he had his hand up over me. And he said, 'I'm going to take care of you.'" And she was just smiling and glowing. And I was sitting there, "Yes, yes, what, what? Did he call my name too?" I mean, you know, I wanted to know what was up. Then she said, I lifted my hand and I looked across this clear water. And there was Bob and her son Greg. And they were doing this. "Come on." And she said, "I never felt so much peace in my life." And she said, "Am I crazy, Pastor?" I said, "No, you're a Christian." Because in the race, when we continue to lean forward, God cheers us on all the way to the very end until we get to see Him face to face. What a testimony. I love it. Not only do we have to forget those things that are behind us, not only we need to, listen, not only need to lean forward and focus on where we're going and just set up everybody running in chaos, we have to do the third thing until then. What are we going to do until then? Forget, lean forward, and until then we need to make sure we know what our goal is. Listen to what it is. He said, verse 14, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. See, you never, once we get the goal out of our mind, if we forget about it and don't focus on it, next thing you know, we're not motivated anymore. Tom Morgan remembers we had a major general, a two-star, and every time we'd have these meetings, he would always have this graph up of where we were and where we wanted to be. They were the worst meetings in the world because he would let you know you're failing. You're at 99, you're still failing. Until you reach the top, and I mean these were senior officers, and he would look at them and say, why are you only at 96 when you're supposed to be at 100? Well, come see me after the meeting, we'll talk about this. I went to his office one day, Tom, and he had some little bitty things that looked like seagulls on his poster board that he had. And I said, sir, what are those representing? He said, those are the fallen eagles. Those are the ones that didn't achieve and I fired. I don't know if he was telling me the truth or not, but it got my attention. Amen. See, staying focused, and the focus is, the goal is this. Job well done, my faithful servant. Job well done, my faithful servant. That's our goal. It's bringing glory in our purpose in life. And you know, many people are running around without purpose. And that's the saddest thing for a Christian. Our purpose is to get the goal, to do the job, to say we've succeeded, to get the job done. That's the goal that we need to be striving for. See, Jesus had that same thing in mind. If you look over in the scriptures, I think it's chapter 2, verse 7, and it says this, Jesus made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even to the death of the cross. Why? Because his goal was to redeem us from our sins. He had that goal in mind his entire earthly life. He had to go down Via Dolorosa. He had to stand before Pontius Pilate. He had to be whipped. He had to be placed a crown of thorns on his head. He had to go through that. The Bible said he could have called down 10,000 angels to destroy the world. But he kept that one goal in mind. What was it? That we could be counted in as the brethren, the saints of the church. That's why he kept us in his mind when he said, it is finished. See, he reached his goal. He did what was required, what he had to do for the redemption of mankind. And we, saved by his precious blood, ought to be doing something similar until then. Until then, we need to forget those things behind us. Until then, we need to lean forward, focused. Until then, we need to have that goal in mind. We need to do it individually. And we need to do it as a congregation. Can you deny that there's not a ministry for you to do in your life? Do you see it? Is it there? It's there. Can you see a ministry for our congregation? Yes, it's absolutely there. To fulfill a purpose that God has for you and for me and for us as a congregation. So what are we going to do until then? You can do nothing. You have that option, right? You can do nothing. Or you can do what Paul said, what he did in his life. Where are we? You know where you are. Let's close our eyes just for a moment. Let's close our eyes in an attitude of prayer. Let's talk to the Father. Dear Lord Jesus, as we come to you right now, we thank you that you pressed, that you moved forward, and that you gave your life for us. Father, we ask that not in our own flesh, but through the Holy Spirit that is in us, that you would move on us in such a great way as that you'd make an impression on us, that you would give us the vision of what we should be doing as a church and as individuals. Father, we no longer want to be paralyzed in the past of what we did and how big it was and how it went down and how it didn't go and all the rest of it, Father. We want to be leaning forward with everything we have and to be focused for that goal until then. We come to you as a congregation and we say, have us. Let your will be done through us. Give us purpose. Give us reason until the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to sing a verse of song. And if you just want to come and pray, you want to talk to me, you're welcome to, or meet me outside. We'll sit down and chat just for a little bit. You want to give your life to Jesus Christ? Boy, I hope there for someone here that's not saved, that doesn't know, they're not part of the brethren. Then you're on the outside of the brethren. You're on the outside of the church. You say, well, that's so harsh. You're being exclusive. Let me just say, Christianity is exclusive. It will include everybody for the invitation. But after you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, it does become exclusive. Because Christianity is the saints of the church. Let's stand as we sang this morning.